It'd be fun. Oh, that's fine. Everybody's coming in from break. That's the last one. Okay, we're good to go. My name is Leah Huff, and I'm the court administrator for the wonderful city of Southlake, Texas. We're up by DFW Airport. If you're looking at the state of Texas on the map, DFW is up in North Texas. Grapevine is part of DFW. We're the city just west of that. It's all one ginormous city from one end to the other. You just drive and you go through one city after another. So if there's one sign after another, I always laugh. But I love it. I've been there 2 years and technically 7 months, 8 months, 8 months, 2 years and 8 months. Before I came to the city of Southlake as the administrator, I was a law office administrator for 13 years, and I was a paralegal. So got lots of legal stuff and lots of administrative experience. To be very honest, though, you guys know a lot more than me in some areas. I'm really great with management personnel and law and statutes. I'm great with all that good stuff and policies and procedures. But as far as the day-to-day grind, I'm still diving through it all. I have worked every single job in my office, though, so I will say that I've done that. Gone all the way from the window, all the way to each desk on the desks, gone all through the court procedures. It took me 2 years and 2 months. But I wanted to learn exactly what they did and why they did it. There's all this legend training, right? Legend training. And so I wanted to see what kind of legendary training was there. But so I do know about each of the job duties, but you guys have a lot more one-on-one, I'm sure. You know, one-on-one. I am passionate about teamwork and about good customer service. So they asked me to teach those two topics for TMCEC this year. The teamwork module that we're going to talk about is actually, again, I did a class yesterday. I designed both of these for my own staff, to be very honest. And they heard about the program and stuff that we were doing, and they said, would you teach it? Because I think some other people could benefit. I'm like, sure. You know, but I will be honest on the second note. I didn't start teaching until I started teaching for them. I had never, ever, ever spoken in front of a group of people besides my staff. So it was very, you know, nauseating the first 3 times when I threw up right before I taught. I haven't gotten sick, though, in the last 1, 2, 3, 4. This is my 5th time, so I'm doing good. But we're going to talk about teamwork. And I really want you to be able to take some things back. I always try to give you some tools and things that you can actually do on your own. If you're not the administrator, you're not going to be able to make, you know, huge, huge changes as a whole for the group, but you're going to be able to make changes individually. If you can find one individual, I tell everybody that, if you can find one individual that works with you at the city, one person that you can connect with and you can form that team with, you can make a difference. Because I've talked to, there's 19 different people that I've been talking to since I started teaching that have actually brought in this stuff on their own, on a small level. Some of them are administrators and some are not. So we'll just hope and pray that'll work. Get that for you. I love lots of fun little goofy things, and it's going to be fun to see this. We're going to talk about team busters. Team busters. These are the 4 most common things that over the 20 years I've been a manager, I've seen that bust up the team. Okay? Real common things. The pink elephant. Okay? I know it sounds like a funny term, but it's a real term. It's a real training personnel term, the pink elephant. My girls always crack up when I say that. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Okay? We're going to talk about how you see yourself, how you see your team, how others see you. Words of idiocy. Saying stupid things. How many people say stupid things? I say stupid things. Okay. And unmotivated. Unmotivated. You always have one in the office that's the least motivated, I should say. I should have probably put least motivated. I would terminate someone that's unmotivated. I'll be really blunt. I mean, they wouldn't survive. I'm not a babysitter. I love my staff. They're amazing. They work their tails off. We have a lot of fun. If you were in my class yesterday, we talked about all the fun things we do. I mean, my staff love to come to work, and they work hard. I haven't lost anybody except the one I had to terminate. I take that back. And then I lost one that, because of our program, she decided to say, I'm going to take care of her kids, which was okay. She said, you know what? She goes, you can make me think. She was like, you know, and I was like, I need to be at home. I was like, you know what? She brings her kids up and has lunch with me like every 6, 7 weeks, so I'm glad she's at home. The pink elephant. Everybody wants to know what that is. I'm going to move out of the way and get out of the way so that I don't block. I'll have to stand over here probably most of the time. This is things that we don't want to see in our own lives, okay? Everybody has these. They're the little dark secrets little black sheep things in your life, okay? We should deal with them, okay? We should deal with all these things. But it takes a lot of effort, and it's painful sometimes, okay? It's working through things. So what we do is we ignore them, even though everybody in the room knows that we've got a problem, we have this problem, we try to ignore it. It's the pink elephant. It's the elephant in the room. I know you've heard of that term, the elephant in the room. Okay? And I want to tell you, pink elephants, because there's something that everyone knows about but no one deals with, is one of the biggest, and that's why I started with it, it's the biggest team buster you can have. I've got a staff member who has a strong military background. Strong military background. That was all she'd ever done. She graduated from high school, went in the military, okay? Very, very black and white. Very, very by the book. There is no gray and there is no leniency. Okay? She was my only staff member that was left. I had, some of you are going to hear a teeny bit of this from yesterday. When I came in, they hired me because they had huge problems in the court. So they brought me in to clean it up. And I had one staff member out of six clerks. I had no teen court coordinator, no teen court clerk. We had to hire everybody and train everybody. It was a nightmare. And they had terminated the person that had my job. So there you go. So it was quite interesting. The only person left was this lone young lady, okay? And I needed her. I needed her. I needed her to show me what they did, how they did it, because you know what? To be really blunt, I need the statutes, but I didn't know every little detail about how to process a ticket, you know? I knew what had to be on the ticket. So this was a military girl. Guess how she wanted to manage people? Crack the whip, baby. I had never seen anything like it. I was like, okay, I would never work for someone like you. I mean, I loved her as a person, but, you know, I couldn't live under that. I mean, I'm fun girl. I mean, I'm all yellow if you do those color things. I'm the people person, 100%. They actually said I was the worst personality for a manager because when they did our huge thing at the city, because I'm about the fun, and I mean, we have a lot of work to do, but I'm about the fun. I like people. I want to have a good time. I want to be there. If I don't want to work someplace, I'm not going to work there because I just couldn't do it. Some people have a better tendency to be able to handle those kinds of things, but I just don't. I've got to enjoy my job, to be really honest. And but my right hand, so guess who was my right hand who got my deputy court clerk too, because she was the only person I had, was my military girl. Mm-hmm. Talk about we did personality profiling. You can pay for this through, if anybody wants to know how to do it, I'll give you my email address. But the state has this program where you can order these personality profiles through this agency. It's I always forget the initials on it. It's got all these acronyms. But if you'll email me, I'll tell you how to do it. But it's really inexpensive. They'll send the trainer out for free because they do it as part of the state program. But you have to pay for the test. I think they're $35 maybe. $25 or $35. So it's not really bad. Not really bad. If you budget it, you could do it. And it's worth it because what it does is it shows you everybody's individual personality and then it gives you one team profile for $35. So it shows you how everybody fits together. It is so cool. And I did it because one of my staff members, I'm coachable. I told them everybody that yesterday. I'm very coachable. If you have a suggestion, come talk to me because you know what? I know that I don't know it all. I'm really humble in that area. I don't know it all. And this one of my young ladies actually has a degree in psychology. And she said, you know, I'd like to see if we could do a personality profile when she wrote out her goal statement. I have them write out, I do evaluations for my staff every 6 months. And I ask them to give me something that they see as a goal, something they'd like to see in our department change or be better. And that was her suggestion. Okay, it was great. So we did that. Well, guess what? Esther and I are polars, literally. Nothing in common, not one trait. And it was really funny because that's my right hand, right? So my staff felt schizophrenic, right? Because when I'm there, it's bring on the party and let's talk about your wipe-off board and how your attitude is today and what's going on, how your kids are. And every morning I come in, that's my routine. And I take one of them to Starbucks once a week and we just talk. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not good, but nobody knows but us. So we, you know, but it's my, I'm the, that's me. My door's always open. The only time my door is shut is if literally I am in with the judge, okay, and we're going to talk about whatever. She always wants the door shut because she doesn't want interruptions. Or if I've got budget due, sometimes I'll shut it a half a day, but it's always unlocked. They can always knock and they can always come in. Because, you know, that's my style. Well, not her style, okay? They need to do their job, they need to be quiet, and they need to be at their desk, you know. We have 15-minute break times that the city allows me to give. She wanted to set them up with increments of 15-minute blocks, right? Everybody assign everybody this perfect little block. I know, perfect little block schedule. But she's in the military, right? Right? So it made sense. Not my style. Oh, so you could see that. You could see it. Okay. Well, me, I'm like, you know what? My line is get your big girl panties on. We're adults here. I got all girls, so I'm okay to say that there. And I'm not a babysitter. I'm not your mama. I'm your boss, and I'm your friend at work as much as I can be. But we're a team. We work together. So if you got to go to the bathroom or you want to go get a Coke or you just need to go take a walk in the park for 15 minutes, go for it. Whenever you get a break in your schedule and you know what court dockets are, you're a big girl. You can figure it out. And if you can't and you're going to abuse it, then I'm going to pull you back in. I've had one staff member I've had to talk to. One. You know what I'm saying? If you give people the respect and the freedom to be an adult and then you pull back in those few that you just can't do, make them suffer. Don't make the whole office suffer. Does that make sense? So the pink elephant in our office was what? The military girl, right? And everybody didn't like her. And she was like, I don't think anybody likes me. I said, well, let me tell you why. You know, let's have a talk. So what I started doing was I sent her to two supervisory schools. I sent her to one for 12 weeks. I sent her to another one for 4 weeks over the course of a year. I evaluated her. I was honest. I love her. I was honest. But her evaluations weren't good. Why? Because she wasn't managing. She was dictating. There's a choice, okay? But I had to fix it. It was the biggest pink elephant I had to overcome. I mean, I had a lot of little ones, but that was the biggest. And I will tell you now, when I leave the office, the girls are fine with her being there because she has learned to adjust to my management style. Now, she still thinks it, and she'll tell me sometimes, because remember, I'm coachable, and I always let her tell me what she thinks. She says, you know, everybody should be perfectly equal in the world. And I said, if that were the case, you guys would all be making exactly what I'm making. That's not the case. Reality is, everyone's not exactly equal in the world. It's just not how it works. I said, you have a power and an authority, but you can't abuse it. You can't make everyone miserable because your style is not a management style. Anyway, she is one of the best managers. I mean, she's got a couple little things we're tweaking and we're working on, but her scores have come up so high, and I'm so proud of her. That's my accomplishment. That's my report card, that I could teach someone who'd never been a manager, never been, and teach them how to be a person that you would want to work for. Because guess what? She's going to go to another court. She's working on her level 3. I don't want to send her to another court and have her make them in this miserable mode. I mean, I could have survived with her the way she was, but I wanted her. I wanted to get rid of my pink elephant. Okay? I wanted it to go away. And how I did that was invested. Do you have a pink elephant in your office? Do you have one of those folks that's got serious problems in your city? I mean, you know, the big city as a whole that you have to deal with. I mean, everybody does. You can't tell me it's not true. Because I know it. Oh, wow. How fun is that going to be? These are some things that are causes, really. Insecurities. She was very, very insecure. And it's funny because you wouldn't think so coming from the military. But she was used, she said, to everybody telling her what to do. She'd never been a manager. Never been a sergeant or, you know, whatever. Everybody always told you exactly what to do. And that was what she was used to. Unresolved issues. You know, being selfish, I think that's a real common one. Skeletons in your closet, I'll tell you one of mine. I'm really open, I'm pretty much an open book. Very little that I don't share. I am a Christian by faith, and I really feel like, you know, people watch your walk and they need to know that, you know, you're not perfect, life does go on. The Bible's full of stories about crazy people that do wrong things, and thank goodness, so it lets me know I'm normal. My oldest daughter, is 25 now, went to North Texas on a music education scholarship. Very, very bright young lady. Very bright young lady. Very rebellious young lady, though. Very, always wanted to kind of push the envelope. Never did drugs, drank, got in trouble at school, never had sex when she was at home, you know, and during the years we were at home. Was on youth council, praise team, you name it. You know, we're really involved in our church. Went to North Texas, made it through a freshman year, so I'm thinking, oh, you know, we survived, right? We made it. They say if you can get them through the freshman year. Sophomore year, her grades took a dive. She got put on probation. She stopped coming home and visiting. She loved cooking, you know, my home cooking, right? Got sick of college food. We knew something was really different when I would see her. But to be honest, you know, you think, well, they're just getting independent. They're growing up. She's, you know, just trying to find her freedom. She's probably partying a little too much with her friends. Long story short, my oldest daughter ended up being a cocaine addict. That was a huge, huge pink elephant in our home. People at church judge you sometimes based on the choices your kids make, right? I'll tell you, I've never been a judgmental person, thank goodness. I do believe in right and wrong, but you know what? It's between you and the man upstairs, not me. But it was very embarrassing. It was very heartbreaking. People that know you think, oh, you've got this great family, and look what's happened to you. It was a skeleton in my closet. It was hard. It was embarrassing. It was humiliating. It was terrifying. It was horrifying. And I can say honestly, she's been clean and sober for 5 years and March, April, May, June, July. 5 years and 6 months. And we put her through rehab. She totally turned her life around. She's actually engaged for the first time to a young man that we grew up knowing. So, I mean, I know that God is good and, you know, things can happen. We can have pink elephants in our lives. We can have skeletons. We can have problems. We can be selfish. We can be self-centered, whatever it is. But we can overcome it. My clerk overcame it. My daughter overcame it. It's possible. So if you have any of these where you're the pink elephant, or if you've got somebody in there that is, you've got to find a way to address it. You've got to find a way to address it. Because if I hadn't addressed it, guess who's going to suffer? Everybody in the team. Not just the girl that works directly under her. Everybody in the team. My teen court coordinator didn't like being around her. I mean, you know, because she was so, right? So when you benefit people, you're benefiting everybody. This is my experiment. Did you notice the elephant in the room when you walked in? How many did you see? Anybody? You see two? That one and that one? Okay, that's it. There's two. Okay. Sometimes we don't want to notice. We're not observant. It's not necessarily our thing. You know what I mean? Some people will notice them and some won't. But I can tell you, you can feel it. You may not see it with your eyes. You may not be able to put your thumb down on it and say what it was. Because to be honest, it took me a little bit. I was thinking, what is it that's causing these girls to be so tense? You know, they were so tense at work. I'm like, God, you're going to have a breakdown or something. And it was because she was giving them, it wasn't even what she said, but it was her body language and how she would drop a paper on their desk. Does that make sense? It wasn't necessarily, she didn't cuss or yell. She wasn't that kind of person. But it's interesting. Observation is the beginning of effective communication. You need to see what's there, see the pink elephants, think about it, jot some down. That's what we did. And actually, I found out that the girls had a lot more pink elephants in the room than I thought. And we started working on those as a team, as a group. If you've got a teammate in your office, a friend, a coworker, somebody else in the city secretaries, you know, whoever's in your office that you can be a teammate with, talk to them about it. Say, hey, let's brainstorm and see what's going on here. What is this tension? Where's this coming from? And try to figure out where it is. Find the root of it. Did you communicate with a friend about the elephant? Did you say anything to anybody that you saw that I had elephants out? Did you say anything? Sometimes people do. In the workplace, this can be perceived as gossip. And I'll tell you that, you know, come on, yesterday the girls know. When I first came in, we had a horrible problem with people talking about other people. And one place that they talked about people, which I laughed about, I told them they couldn't gossip, right, that they would be terminated. I would write them up. I went through the whole policies and procedures deal about how the city could deal with gossiping. So I had my two clerks that loved to gossip, right? Well, they didn't gossip in the office. Where did they go? Parking lot. No, they went to the parking lot after work, where everybody parks in my office. And they're whispering over by the car every day. Yeah. So did they gossip in the office? No, but they were on city property, which still is, was still applicable. So I explained that to them, and then we had to explain that you can go to Esparza's and have margaritas and gossip all day long if that's what you're really going to do. I understand that. But you will not do it here on any city property. Period. And you know what happened? They're not going to go to someplace after work and go. They wanted to do it where it was convenient. It stopped. I love this phrase. This is by Michelangelo. I saw the angel in the marble and carved until I set him free. Remember how I told you, you just have to observe it and deal with it. I love Michelangelo's work. I'm a big art fanatic. But I love this phrase. I saw the angel in the marble, and I carved until I set him free. My team that I have today, I put this phrase up for a while on the board. I said, we're going to find that. We're going to carve until we find it. And I've got the team. I have a great team. A great team. I don't have a good team. I have a great team. But we got rid of the pink elephants. Dealt with it. Oh, this is my daughter's favorite. Actually, this one I got from a Bible study book that I did with my daughter. Teenage girls, you know, go through a lot of ups and downs. And I had my oldest daughter, I did it with her, and then I did it with my younger daughter. Mirror, mirror on the wall. The mirror was invented for me. Okay, think about it. It wasn't invented for me to show you. It was invented for me to look at me, right? And all the people in the world who want to see what others see. I could not draw my face accurately because I don't look at myself. I couldn't even tell you what I look like. I mean, I know I have dark hair and dark eyes. My hair looks really wild because of the hard water there. But other than that, I couldn't tell you what I look like, okay? I don't even remember what color lipstick. I have pink on, maybe? I was trying to remember. Yeah, because I got a pink dress. Think about how unnatural it is to behold our own faces. The very eyes I use to behold every other face disallow me to see my own face. There is purpose in the design of our faces. It's pretty deep for first thing in the morning. I admit that. But I will tell you, if you will cut that out or you will write that down and you will put it somewhere on your desk, it will change how you look at yourself and how you look at others. We were designed to look at other people and to embrace other people. We weren't designed to be selfish and self-centered. We really weren't. Think about it. You can't see yourself. Have you ever thought of that? You can't see yourself. I thought, it was like when I read this book, I'm like, oh my gosh, you're so right. I mean, I can't see myself. I just think it's a miracle. I think it's interesting. And so I tell my daughter, I said, when you start thinking you're all that, you're looking at yourself, and you've got the mirror in front of yourself. You're conceited, you're selfish, you're self-absorbed. And people judge other people by the way they look, the way they talk, the way they act, the color of their skin. People thought I was Hispanic growing up. They thought I was Hispanic. Everybody said, they spoke Spanish to me some of the time when I would go out because I'm dark. My skin's kind of dark. I've got dark hair, dark eyes. I mean, everybody thought I was. I couldn't speak a lick of Spanish. I wanted to learn Spanish. I took 6 years of it, you know, after all that because I thought, you know what, I'm going to learn how to speak Spanish. But people thought I was just by the way I was. And I will tell you, the group I grew up in was a very predominantly Anglo area. Very predominantly Anglo. And grew up in a country club, have to be honest. Don't tell a lot of people that. Started doing it more. I'm just going to overcome that shadow. But, you know, I grew up in a different world. And people judged me because they thought I was Hispanic. I'll be honest. They judged me differently. I wasn't like everybody else. Took a lot of heat for it. I was adopted. My parents were Anglo. They had dark hair and dark eyes. They wanted a child that had dark hair and dark eyes because they both did. They just didn't realize they were going to get somebody that says tan. You know? I'm American Indian. I'm half American Indian. That's where my coloring comes from. And but I know what it feels like to be judged for something that shouldn't make a difference. I was like, why do you care? Why do you care? But people were looking at me and judging me just like you judge people you work with. She dresses cute. Man, that girl needs to wear makeup. Man, that girl needs to do something with her hair. I mean, we do it. We do. Or the people that come to the window. Exactly. You know, you're like, oh, okay, this one's a scary looking one. And they may be the nicest person on the planet. They just like to dress really strange. Or like a lot of piercings. I mean, say that again. What dark room did you get dressed in? Actually, when my daughter was 5 years old, I've always been very, you know, I always try to let people be very independent. I think it's important, just for me. So my staff were independent, my kids were independent. I try to teach them to be independent. And my 5-year-old, though, oh, Lord, had not a good color schematic theme going, okay? She just was my artistic, creative musician, okay? So she dressed like that. She would put purple leggings on with yellow pants and a green shirt. I mean, she looked like a rainbow every day. And her kindergarten teacher kept saying to me, are you not, you know, does anybody help her get ready in the morning? She would make little comments, you know. And, you know, I said, you know, I let her get dressed herself. She really likes to do that. So finally one day, she had to go on a field trip. This is terrible. She had to go on a field trip. I'd let her get dressed by herself, like I always did. Because how could I tell her, okay, today I'm going to take that privilege away? No. So I put a little note on her back that said, I dressed myself. Don't I look cute? You know, on her back. I know. Isn't that horrible? But, you know, I wanted people not to judge her for, you know, she was 5. For heaven's sakes, who cares what you look like at 5? They got uniforms 2 years later, so actually it kind of saved me. Yeah, I know. I was actually one of the big ones to push for that. Not because
the reason they get uniforms?
Probably. I mean, you say that, but I know when it's a private Christian school. I know people, when they came through and looked at this kid, they were thinking, because she had her hair up on her head. Like, she would pull her hair up. I mean, whatever she wanted. I mean, I was pretty mellow, and you know, she would pull her hair up, like right on top. I mean, fountainhead, you know. I'm like, dear heavens. But it was her fun, you know. She is. And I'm a bling chick. So if you've ever seen me very long, this is minor bling for me because I'm trying to be conservative, you know. Somebody said I was a little too unconservative, so I thought, okay, I'm conservative when I teach. In my clothing, people judge you for that. You know, it's just the way life is. They are. But potential causes for mirror, jealousy. Jealousy is number one. You know, people, if they think, let me give you an example. One of the last two classes I taught 2 times back in another city, taught a class, had a girl who would not, I was getting my coffee or tea or whatever outside, totally looking down, you know, wouldn't look. And I was saying, hey, how are you? You know, where are you from? You know, I talk to a doorpost or a chair. I mean, I like people, right? So if I don't have somebody there to talk to, I'm talking to myself half the time. I'm just that way. I like people. She was like, oh, fine, you know, whatever. She was just kind of ignoring me and stuff. And I asked her, I said, well, you know, what do you do? What's your job, you know? Because I said, I'm in Southlake, and I work in the court. I didn't even say I was an administrator, so I work in the court. And she said, you don't care. And I was like, no, I really do. I said, I'd like to know. You know, I like knowing about people. She says, well, I got to go. And so she kind of took off, and I thought, oh, okay. Like, I offended this girl. You know, I'm thinking that, right? I'm like, okay, do I smell? Do I, you know, what's going on here? I'm like, you know, am I not talking clearly? Or I don't know. But maybe she just had a bad day, okay? Later on, she ended up being in one of my classes. Because I do 2 of them for them this year. I've done 2 for them this year. So she was in one of my classes. She was actually in this class. And after this class, she caught me later. And she said, I apologized for yesterday, because this was the day before. She goes, I thought you would be a really snotty person by the way you looked. And she goes, I just wasn't going to get involved with you. And I was like, okay. I mean, I don't think I look snotty. I'm like, I like everybody. I'm like, but she perceived that from me because of the way I looked. She said, just the way you dressed, the way you looked, I thought you'd be snotty. I'm like, okay. So she's had some bad experiences somewhere. You know what I mean? Paranoia, that's what kind of made me paranoid anyway. Judgmental, shallow. Insecure on appearance, maybe that, you know, she said, she goes, I never wear jewelry and stuff, and people that wear a lot of jewelry, so that's why I kind of toned it down. She was like, kind of sometimes, well, I don't know. She said, sometimes people that wear a lot of jewelry, you know, they think they're all that, and I'm like, oh, no, I just like a lot of bling. I just have to be honest. My mom raised a girly girl, okay? Too serious or self-centered? Too serious. You're going to find a lot of people that take life too seriously. You could be that person. I don't know. But you know what? I can tell you, life is too short. You never know from day to day to day where you're going to be and if you're going to be. Why the heck make life so serious? I tell that to Esther all the time. I'll even go over to her sometimes. She's going to get mad at me. I'll even tip her chair back sometimes, almost tip her out of her chair just to give her a hard time, just to make her lighten up if she's having a rough day. Of course, she's looking at me like, okay. You know, but you know, she knows I'm teasing with her. Or I'll go over and I'll we have our Wi-Fi boards. She draws pictures and she does a great job. She's really artistic, actually. And I'll go over and put an L on it sometimes, a big cursive L like Laverne and Shirley's L. That's how I write my L's. And I'll do that on it just to give her a hard time. You know, if she's being all prickly that day, I tell her she's prickly. You know, just to joke around with her, lighten her up. I'm like, come on, life is not this hard, right? Self-centered, looking at yourself, focusing on yourself. We're going to do an experiment. We're going to talk about you, your teammates, their perception, and the reality. Did you know reality is somewhere in the middle of what you think and what I think? Because you came from a totally different place than I did, okay? You came from here, I came from here, okay? Your perception, your reality is real to you, and you, how you see things is real, okay? How I see things is real, and my reality is what I accept. But the truth really is somewhere in the middle. Because if we're going to be a team and we're going to connect, you and I have to find some middle ground. Just like marriage, just like being a mother or father, being a kid. You got to find that middle ground. Do you try to find the middle ground with the people you don't get along with? Not usually. We're going to role play a little bit. And we're not going to do much of it, but I do think it's important. We do a ton, if you ever worked in my office. Ton of role play. God, bless you. She's allergic to me. See, I could say that. She sneezed that much. Okay, drink my ginormous bottle of Tang. I need you two to do one for me, okay? And then I'm going to pick you two. You two do one for me. You and you, because you don't know each other, right? You two don't know each other? Okay, then do that. And you guys don't know each other either, do you? Okay, you do that for me. All right, this is our fun experiment. I do a ton of role play. I mean, I'm not kidding you. My girls laugh at me now. They thought I was kidding when I first said that. I go, but one of the best ways to learn is by role playing, okay? Put yourself in someone else's shoes. I did this with my kids all the time. Dr. Dobson, I don't know if you know, but he was big into let them see how things work. And the best way to do it is by changing places, okay? What's your position in court? Clerk. Are you front end, back end? What do you do? Tell me you kind of... You do everything. Okay, boy, you're very... So you do it all. Yeah. Cool. Tell me what you do.
The warrant.
Okay. Oh, that's right, the warrant car. Okay. All right, so one of you is going to have to be the boss. No, you know what? Because she said that, you're going to be the boss. Okay, you're the clerk. Okay? I need you to, everybody else pick somebody. Pick one of you to be the administrator, one of you to be the clerk. Y'all, between the two of you, just make the decision. Okay? Okay? Y'all ready? Okay. What I want you to do is this. Okay? Here's the scenario, okay? The administrator, you're really, really upset with your clerk. They have done some really bad things. Somebody got arrested because you didn't pull the warrant, okay? You didn't get the warrant pulled out. You didn't get the clearance paperwork put. So you're getting ready to get sued, okay? So there's some big, big crap happening, okay? Can I say crap? Maybe a bad word. Okay? It's bad news, okay? It's one of the worst things that can happen. Okay. You have to look at yourself in that mirror, administrator, the whole time you're disciplining your staff. The whole time. You can't look at them. You can only look at yourself. You can only look at your own face. Okay? You have to put it right in front of them, though, but you can't look at them, but you have to put it right between you and their face. So turn towards them. Put it literally in front of your face the whole time. And you cannot look at them. And the person that is the clerk has to count how many times they look around. Count how many times they look at you or look at anything else besides their face in that mirror. Okay? Okay? So you're going to discipline them. Go ahead. Do something. Come on, think of something to say. You just have to look and see if she's looking. If she's holding it there, she's not looking around as much. Somebody has to see her, though. Somebody's got to watch her face. Okay, watch her. See if you count her. Catch him. Go ahead. Go. Oh my gosh. Okay, go for it. Some discipline. Come on. You got to watch them though. Somebody, you got to turn, watch somebody and tell them, tell me if they're, how they're, many times they're watching. Okay. Okay. That's good. That's good. Do you understand when you're looking at yourself how hard it is to do that? You can't. Why do you do? I want to ask you this. Why do you do that? Why is it that it's so hard to look at yourself when you're trying to talk to somebody else? Why is it?
Because you look that way.
No, but why is it? Why was it so hard? That's a very good point.
If you're not prepared to take responsibility for it personally, how can you possibly make someone else take responsibility?
This is true. If you're trying to discipline yourself and you're not taking responsibility for your own actions, how can you yell at yourself? It doesn't make any sense. You feel this. You feel like you're yelling at yourself when you're looking at yourself in the mirror.
Yeah.
Because this is the point. Whatever you're looking at is what you're focused on. And if you're looking at yourself, it's almost too painful or too uncomfortable to look at yourself. Does that make sense? Have you ever thought of that before today?
Well, if you don't like what you see in the mirror, people around you are definitely.
And what I did with my clerks, I had two clerks that were on the phone all the time, and I told the girls yesterday this, but I have two girls on the phone all the time that were kind of abrasive, you know, and I'd go out there and say, you know, maybe we could say it like this. I tried that approach at first, you know, and we role played a little bit. Finally, I just put a mirror in front of their phone, and I said, I want you to look at yourself the whole time you're on the phone. They were like, oh, we don't want to do that. I'm like, no, I need you to do that. And I laughed. They still have them up, but it changed how they talked to the people because they saw how they looked. Their faces looked so, you know, they locked the jaw and all that, you know. And she was like, you know, she goes, I saw my jaw really, really square off there. And I said, yeah. I said, but they hear that. So what I would encourage you to do is this. If you've got an issue with someone, I do this actually. I have a mirror in my office next to my chair. If I've really got an issue with one of my staff, I look at myself and talk to myself like I'm that staff person first. And, you know, do it with your kids. With my daughter, you know, I need my husband to do that, though. But he's the one with the bad temper. I tried to get him to do it, and he was like, I'm not doing that. But anyway, but if you could look at yourself, it's like, it's really hard. It's really hard. And it makes you really think about what you're saying, how you look, what you're doing, how you're affecting that person. Because you really are affecting that person. They did make a mistake. Okay, now if you did that, we would have talks, okay? But I'm not going to degrade you, and I'm not going to scream at you. We're going to say, okay, tell me exactly what happened. Tell me every single step, all the way from the beginning to the end. Let's pull all the records. Let's pull in code, you know, everything. But you see what I'm saying? But think about that for a minute. When you got the mirror, okay, look at yourself and see how you're looking to that other person and realize that it's hard to look at yourself and look at your own faults on the flip side. It's very hard to look at your own faults. It's hard to look at yourself and say, I really screwed up. And with my daughters and my son, they say that I have a 20-minute temper, and I do, on the long end. I don't have a big temper. My husband has enough for 20 people, so I got enough for none. So there you go. So we just have this really good balance. But with me, if I get upset with something, if I ever, like I've raised my voice probably 3 or 4 times to the girls, not screaming, but said, you know, knock it off, or giving them any kind of symbol that's, okay, we're out of line here, you know, we need to pull it back in. They all, I mean, their eyes all get huge, all of them, because I don't do it. I mean, it's not my style. And they know if I do it that they've really gone outside the boundaries. They've really done something that's really outside. Well, my kids are the same way. But if I do it, even with my staff, I'll go back out and say, look, I probably shouldn't have done that. I probably should have pulled the USN aside like we normally do and did something, but I really didn't have time for that, it was the group. It was everybody, so it was applicable. You know, cut it out, you know, knock it off, whatever. If I do that to my kids, though, I do apologize. I do, because you know what? No one deserves to be yelled at, whether, you know, even if it's slightly raising my voice. I'm not a yeller, I'm not a screamer, but you know, if I raise my voice with them and all, I mean, I'll tell them, look, you did this, and that's why I was really frustrated, and you brought me to frustration. You did make me to where I was to the point where I was going to raise my voice. But you're important to me, and I'm not going to talk to you like that because that's not okay. I shouldn't talk to you that way. But I should discipline you, and you're going to have a consequence, you know. But I do apologize to him for how I acted because you've got to take into account how people see you. And I don't want my staff to think I'm a tail of the hun. I don't. But they do know that if I get upset, there's a purpose because they know that I love them. I mean, they know that I care about them. I want them to be happy. I want them to reach their goals. I want them to reach their career goals, their family goals. I mean, we talk about all that stuff. They're a whole person. I really care about what happens to them. You know, I want them to be fulfilled. We're not going to go through and do that many role plays. I won't make you do that many. I love this saying. It's hard to be humble when you're as great as I am, Muhammad Ali. I thought this was very applicable. You know, how does your team perceive you? Do they perceive you as self-centered, selfish? How do they see you? Do they think that you're a team player? Do they see you as a leader? Do they see you as somebody they can go to if they have a problem? Or do they avoid you? I mean, think about it for a minute. Think about everybody in your office. Think about everybody in your city hall that you work with. Just think about it for a minute. Think about how they see you. Who thinks you're approachable? Who thinks you're unapproachable? Who thinks you're a witch? Now, you got to be honest. I mean, all right, here's my next one. Dear heavens, I got to really fly. How many minutes do I have now? I've got, what, 15?
Oh. Yes, ma'am.
The pink elephants. You go back to step one, the pink elephants. You brainstorm together. You really do. You have to just come up with, hey, let's go have coffee. There's something that I feel. I don't know what it is. I mean, that's what I did with the girls, the one I had first.
But it's not somebody that you have
authority over.
Right.
If you don't have authority over them, you still can be outside of, you can still ask them to coffee. And you can just say, hey, you know, I don't know what this is. I'm asking, is there something I'm doing? You know, you have to go back to yourself. Is there something I'm doing? Is there anything that I'm saying? Is there any action I'm giving you that's giving you the impression that I'm not part of the team or I don't like you or I make you uncomfortable or I make you frustrated? Because, to be honest, something that's going on your end, they're reacting to. It's negative.
It's not the one person. It's the majority of that person.
Are you the same way?
Then you have to get your administrator to do a brainstorm session. Oh, Lord. Seriously? Now, that'd be tough. You know, I believe in, this is my own philosophy, and the girls know this. I believe in accountability, okay? I do believe in accountability as an individual and as a team, okay? I'm not the big cheese. I mean, I've got bosses over me, you know? Let me give you an example, perfect example. We share a jail facility and dispatch with another city. We pay them $1.25 million to run our dispatch and jail, okay? We're building a new building, and they did it originally like for that, but then they ended up deciding they probably want to keep it there. Try having a relationship, business relationship, with someone that doesn't work for you, doesn't work for your city, doesn't care about your opinions, doesn't care about your policies and procedures, doesn't care about your audit controls, okay? I have this gentleman that I have to work with. I get to work with, that's how I tell myself. He is not under me. He is way above me, actually, in their city as far as levels go. And we had a lot of tension. And I just asked him, I said, let me buy you lunch one day. I said, but I want to be honest. I said, I want to talk to you about what is it about me. I said, I want you to think about it because you got to tell me. I said, I want you to think about it so you know. I said, tell me the truth. What is it about our department that's frustrating you so much? What can I do? What can I do, if anything, to make this any better? Because it had gotten to the point to where, I mean, they were ugly to us, and my girls were getting ugly back, and it just wasn't a good situation. Very hard to do. I will tell you the truth. It took me 3.5 weeks of prayer to get to the point where I could do it. But I said, just as friends, not as workers, not as, because I said, you're way above me. He's a deputy director. I am a court clerk. I mean, a court administrator, but I'm nothing compared to his level in that city. he's over five divisions or four divisions. So, I mean, you know. But I said, just as an individual. I said, not, you know, not as where we are, but just as an individual. I said, let's go to lunch. I said, would you do that with me? Would you do that? And he kind of hem-hawed around. He was like, well, you know, we could have a business meeting here at the town hall. I said, no. I really feel like this is outside of that. I said, I really don't want to bring all that in because I don't want to talk about work-specific things necessarily. I just want to talk about what it is that's going on that I'm doing that I can control and I can fix and change. And you know what? It took about three lunches. We ended up going back. He said, you know what? He goes, I'll buy you lunch next time. He goes, I don't like this. He goes, but he did want to resolve it. We don't love each other. We don't love each other. Oh, dear heavens. Okay, I'm really getting afraid now. The noise earlier, you better move. I think you're getting wet. But I did, you know, and it's hard to do. I'm not saying it's easy to do. And I would never gang up on him. It would just was just going to be me. I didn't pull my director in, my deputy director in, because if I'd done that, it wouldn't have been just the two of us, and it wouldn't have been personal. It would have been a business thing. Does that make sense? You've got to pull it outside the business realm if it really is a true problem. Because you never know, but this, but by what I did with this one man for me, changed the dynamics for my whole staff. Because sometimes people, like the girl with the road rage, don't know why they're doing what they're doing. His problem with me was he felt like I was telling him what to do all the time. When he's way above me, I'm a lowly court administrator, okay? And I was telling him what to do. I was bossing him around. He's very male, ego, you know, thinks he's all that. So I had to learn to adjust, and now I send him questions instead of, I need you to do blah, blah, blah. I'll say, you know, what do you think about this idea? Is there anything that you could do or tweak, or could we do it a different way? I totally approach him a different way now.
You did one of those personality things.
You did.
It helped.
You did.
It helped, but it still was after the fact that we did have kind of a little
powwow
thing like you're talking about, mm-hmm. But the answer that I got for the reason was ugly.
Really?
Yeah. So
hurtful. So you're at a point where you've already tried to make, as a group, you guys made,
it's getting better. But, I mean, as far as a whole, it's kind of still.
Well, there's a big pink elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
It's still there.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, the true way to fix it is going to be through your.
But then it would require me changing my personality, and I point blank told her I was not changing my personality. That's me.
Right.
So.
Well, then in a way, you've agreed to disagree. And sometimes that happens. I'm sorry, if you have teenagers, you agree to disagree. And you know what? If you can know in your mind that you've agreed to disagree, a lot of the tension will release itself. Just write a note to yourself, stick it on your computer. Trust me, I've had to do that with my daughter many, many times, my oldest daughter. I've agreed to disagree with Liz on this matter. And I'll write it on my computer when I've had a really, she always pushed me to the edge. I mean, she was my spice in my soup, I always told her. But honestly, though, if you get to a point where there's no other, you have to know in your mind that you've made an effort and you agree. You agree. You have the choice. You have the control. You have the power. You agree to disagree. Does that make sense? Okay. Well,
My theory is I'm here. I'm doing my job. I'm going to continue to do it as I'm doing it.
Right.
It's fine.
Right.
Except for certain days it's worse than others.
It's worse than others. Well, but
it's hard to work in that.
It's hard to work in that, but. You know, maybe Linda. Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe Linda will have mercy on you and chat with her about it eventually, or not. Linda will retire in a year. Maybe somebody coming up will change that for you. I'll pray hard. How about that? On a personal note. But I do have people I have to agree to disagree with. I've got those in my life. In my teenagers, I've always had those moments where we just can't come to a good resolution. We just can't. We're not going to. My 20-year-old. He's like his daddy and real strong personality, you know. So now I've got two of them, you know, and I'm like, oh, wear me out, you know. But if we want to go do something, it's always black and white. Either we're going to do what he wants to do or he's not going to go because he's 20 now at this point. So you know what? It bothered me. It hurt me. I was devastated. I'm like, my child doesn't want to go hang out with us. We're not doing family time. You know, we always were big into family time. He don't want to play games with us tonight, whatever. But you know what? Honestly, after time, I've learned. I just agree to disagree with him. I just say, you know what? I think you're missing out. I really think you're missing out, but I'm okay with that because that's your choice. That's where you're going
to
be. I'm not going to fight with you about it anymore. But I'm just saying, but that's what I'm saying, to agree to disagree. I've just come to a peace with myself. and I've agreed that we're not gonna see eye to eye. And I'm okay with that, to be honest. I really am now. No, they know because they may. Everybody does. See, and we shouldn't allow it as administrators. We shouldn't allow it. Yeah, we shouldn't allow it. But I will tell you, a lot of administrators don't want to tackle those. They just don't want to tackle it. And it's painful to tackle it, and it takes a lot of time.
Here's our situation. We have a bullpen, and the person that causes all of our issues
right.
is in the office directly behind all of us.
Oh, my gosh. That you do.
And then comments on everything to the supervisor all the time.
Like a tattletale. They like to stir the pot.
Yes.
So you've got to stir the pot individual in an office behind where your offices are.
All of us. And so, yeah, every one of us are pulling in. I mean, it's so bad if one of us moves the dadgum thermostat, she's up out of her desk and putting it back down and looking at you. I mean, you know, it's horrible. We're all just tiptoeing in every day. And I hope she never listens to this recording.
No. You know what, though? Well, I won't say where you're from. How about that? You know what, though? You know, honestly, in that same area, though, when you're talking about that, honestly, you know, I would be, now, I wouldn't be a good employee on this end because I worked in personnel law too long at the firm, and I would record it record a day's tape, and I would give it to my boss one day anonymously and just let him listen to it. I would do it. I mean, I'm sorry, but I videotape. Now, we have cameras in our office, so if I want somebody to see what they're doing wrong when I'm training, if I'm saying, you know, when you did this, you know, kind of, I let them see it. This is what you look like. And they were like, I mean, they're kind of like, oh, okay, I didn't look too nice there. Yeah. But again, you know, personnel, you can record something as long as you don't use it for a disciplinary action. You can record it for no reason and just put it in their desk. I mean, if it were me, I would tell you unofficially that's what I would do. You know, and again with you, even if it's going on and it's something that's at your desk, you could record that. You could just stick it anonymously in, you know, just stick it in Linda's box and say, just write her a note and say, hey, you know, or not anonymously, but I'd write her a note and say, look, I just want you to kind of hear what I'm hearing. Tell me what I can do. Because Linda is empathetic, you know, I think in her own way. Maybe she would, I don't know. I mean, I don't know, but most bosses don't, we can't watch and hear everything. We just can't. And we've got so much pressure with budgets and finance and stuff like that right now. I'm telling you, you know, a lot of pressure. I've been really swamped because we've had to cut budgets twice, and I'm just, you know, it takes a lot of time, and I don't have as much time out in the office. But honestly, if we hear it sometimes, we really can put more justification to it. Does that make sense? We can put more weight to it. And maybe that, I don't know. That's just a suggestion with mine. Words of idiocy. Ha ha. The person that you're dealing with, this is probably them. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me. And that is so untrue. I always want to know who said this. Good communications with your peers allows you to wrestle with the same issues together on a daily basis. And ideally, both parties are willing to talk about their victories and their defeats. This person you're talking about specifically isn't willing to do that. They really aren't choosing to be a part of the team if they're not choosing to change, if they're having problems with multiple people. And that's when discipline comes in my opinion. But, you know, that's me. Send them to me. I'll take care of it for you. They may want to move to Southlake. Yeah, she can come. I'll send her here. Potential causes, though, I want to get through at least some of this because I've got like 5 minutes. Is it over at 10:30? Do y'all know? Does it say?
45.
Oh, good. Okay. I was thinking I might get through the last one. Okay. Being blunt. Hurried, an introvert. You know, I will tell you, my clerk, the military chick, she's introverted, extremely introverted. Guess what I am? Extroverted. Like on the yellow, on the cusp, on the outside. Focused. Some people are very focused on one thing, especially males typically, very focused on one thing at a time. But there's a lot of females like that. You know, they can't be bothered. I have one clerk who's ADD, and if you go talk to her about something, and she doesn't have time to stop and break mentally from what she's on, she'll say, she didn't hear a word I said. It took me about a month, and I'm thinking, okay. She's smart, and she's good. Where am I missing here? And I started talking to her about it in one of our monthly meetings, and she said, you know, I said, what is it that I, she said, you know, I have to be honest. She goes, I can't do more than one thing at a time. She goes, and if you come up and talk to me, she goes, I can only hear and see what you're talking about. I mean, only what I'm working on. I can't make change gears that quick. So what I do now is I go stick my fish on her desk, and she comes and sees me when she gets done. But that's our little trick that we've come up with. Insensitive, apathetic. Apathetic means they don't care. And you're going to have people that are apathetic. In my department, they would be fired. I mean, I'm sorry, but we can't be apathetic. We have to try. We have to get along. Emotionally immature. Some people never grow up. Can I just say that? My oldest daughter, I thought, would be emotionally immature because she is 25, and my 15-year-old is still more mature than she is. So what is that? It's just, it's a bend people have. They're emotionally immature. And it's just about the job. I'm here to get my paycheck. And I tell my girls, if you're here to just get your paycheck, I don't want you to be here. I don't want you just to be here just to get your paycheck. Because if you're here just for your paycheck, you're not really, really for me and for this group. You're really not. Because they like coming to work. They don't love every job they do. Nobody likes filing warrant cards. Dear heavens, I don't like filing warrant cards, but I go file them sometimes. If I see they're behind, I'll go take an hour and I'll grab a big stack and go in there and file them, okay? Just to be nice, just to say, hey, you know what? I feel your pain, okay? Does that make sense? Does that make, just, it's just a, well, yeah. Y'all can all come up to South Lake. No, I'm joking. I'll take you all in. What I want you to do is I want you to, this is something I want you to take back and do because there's really not time to do all this here, but what I had my girls do is make a character trait wish list. If they had the perfect person working with them, okay, I had to make a wish list of what that person looked like. This might be a great thing that y'all could do in your office. You make a wish list, okay? Think of things that you would love to see in a person that works with you, okay? Let's do a few. We're going to do just a few. If I had to say, make me a character trait wish list, what character trait, what would you want to see in that person? Somebody tell me something. Anything. What'd you say? Professional. Oh, very good. We say that about 100 times a week in my office. Was it professional? And I actually defined professionalism. We pulled out the Webster's, and I emailed it to all of them so they understood what it meant. Who said something else? I heard somebody else. Patient. Oh, yeah. Especially in our line of work. Okay, we're on the P's. Huh? I was thinking that. Honesty or truthfulness? What else? Think about something you'd want to see. What kind of person do you think that you are that's integritable? What kind of character traits do you see in yourself that you say, you know, this is a decent thing about me? I mean, I'm strong in this area. What? Caring? I heard some other things. Caring? What else?
Approachable.
Oh, I love that. That's an excellent one. I'm going to add that to my list at work. Say it again. Dedicated. Exactly. I need one more at least. Somebody give me one more. Our last one.
Humor.
Humor. Ooh, play. I'm going to put play next to that because, man, play is all about. I've got three people that hate play in my office. Three. Okay? Three of them are, let's just get the job done. We really don't need to play. You know, I feel stressed when we play because they're too uptight. They're real uptight. I got three. And they're the ones I aggravate the most. You know, I have to be honest. I give them a hard time more than the others because guess what? They need it. And they've loosened up a lot. Okay, so if we make a character trait list, wish list, the person you're talking about specifically, did they have any of these? They have some of them. Which ones would they have? They're professional. Okay. 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 I've got, no, you laugh. I've got one of those. I know what you're talking about now. I was trying to figure out what they, because I've got one of those. I've got one of those. She is perfect, and she wants everybody to be perfect and everything to be perfect and done exactly the right way, which is her way. Got one of those. But she's mellowed out. Just took a lot of work. I'll send you some stuff. If you'll email me, I'll send you some. I've got some stuff I worked with her on. Okay, so she's professionalism and she's dedicated. She needs a little play, and that's my one that I aggravate all the time.
That comes in spurts.
But I meant, I do it to her all the time. I mean, I drive her crazy probably. Like, I throw paper clips at her sometimes.
Is that...
See, the rubber band, she might pop back at me. The paper clip, she won't. What? Yes, ma'am. There's 9. I think so. I've been asked to go to a couple. I think I could. Oh, I know. I've been over there. You know what I would do? Yeah, it is. You know what I would do, though? This is my own style, though. This isn't going to help you unless you get somebody in there like that. I would divide them into sections. I would divide you in sections. You'd have a lead in each section. You know what I mean? A person that would be your play lead, you know, your team lead, whatever. And that individual... I would meet with, you know, I'd still meet with everybody, even if it took me 2 months. It would probably take me 2 months to get through, maybe, you know, because I talked to the administrator that's there now. It is a much bigger court. It's bigger than your court. But what I would do, that's my style. I'd meet with the leads every month, but I would meet with everybody at least every 2 or 3 months, depending on how many there were, individually, so they still got that time. But I would actually, we would do events, mini events within each pod so that we could have coverage. And trust me, now we have to have coverage with utility billing. I have to trade her back and give her time if I borrow her employees to cover my window. Does that make sense? But we would do events, and we would do big events. We do them after work, though. They give me 30 minutes of time, and I pay them 30 minutes of time. So we have this hour meeting twice a month. One time, we do birthday party the first 15, 20 minutes. Then we have our staff meeting. We talk about issues, the emails they email me about questions, policies, procedures. And we just start brainstorming. And we have a chart, and we just brainstorm. What are we going to do? Makes things better. It's efficient. It's good for the city, okay? But it's also good for the girls because we have a time, and they love it, and they get silly in there, actually. They're really kind of funny. And then we do another one that's a fun event. And again, I pay them 30 minutes, so it's an hour a month. And they give me 30 minutes, and we go off somewhere, have margaritas, go bowling, whatever it is. But we do that, and we do it every month. And you can do that with as many people as you need because it's after work. It's after 5. We go from 5 to, we say 5:30 to 6:30 so everybody can change and get there. But, you know, and I've got a couple that won't come every time, you know, not every time because they've got kids and stuff that doesn't work out. It's not mandatory that they come if it's an off-site one. It's mandatory they stay to the all-staff meeting and do the birthday party thing together or the holiday party, whatever we're going to do. But, yeah, it would work. I mean, it would definitely work. You know, and I don't know. This other court is a couple years out. I don't know if I want to do that or not. I don't know. I mean, I've thought about it. But, you know, it could be done. I definitely believe it could be done. It would be structured differently, but it could be done. And it would be done. I mean, if I was going to go there, and I made it pretty clear to the presiding judge, I'm like, you got to understand. And he was like, well, I like that. He goes, I want it to be like that. He said, your staff really like working there. And he said, I want to bring that in. But it does make a better staff because they work hard. I mean, I'm telling you, you know, this morning one of them sent me this, this note. And she said, we've got closed files almost, you know, we're working on closed files, trying to get them caught back up, because from the roundup, we still had some. And one of them sent me a text that we've got closed files kind of backed up in the file room. She's like, is it okay if I ask Esther, which is my lead when I'm gone, if we could all, you know, file today at least an hour? You know, that's one of my clerks just saying, you know, look, it needs to be done. I'm sorry, but I love that. She knows it needs to be done. She's not a lead, but she knows that Esther's coachable. And so she went and talked to Esther and said, hey, you know, I talked to Leah and just asked if it was okay, if I could ask you, if that, you know, because she didn't want to overstep bounds if I'm not there. But that's a team. She sees something needs to be done. She's willing to file an hour, and she wants us to get them caught up. So, I mean, does that make sense? I know it kind of sounds odd. It can work, though, definitely in a bigger situation. I run actually 3 departments when others' leads are out. Right now I have 3 departments that I'm running because I help cover, you know. And they're run differently because I don't run them every day. But they like it when I cover because we do some fun stuff. But I cover 3 departments often when their supervisors are out. I mean, and so I've got, sometimes I'll have 25, 26. I mean, it can be done. Very, very doable. Yeah. See, and that's where you've got it. That mentality would always have to change. Everybody has to be coachable, including me, because if I'm not, yeah. Really? Well, that breaks my heart. I don't think I could move to San Angelo. It's too far away. Uh-huh. It does. It would start at the top.
You know, because all this we incorporate into our office, but then, like, whenever we talk to the defendants, I mean, these people are like, I mean, basically, we're rude to the customers, you know, to the defendants. And I've been trying to work on it because it's like, you know, you want to treat people the way you want to be treated.
Exactly. Then, like, do unto others as you do. An excuse for the law.
Exactly.
I hear that. But you know what? You know what you can do though. Honestly, when I know people above you can be.
When they see that, when all the other girls see that,
then they mimic it.
So when they're rude to the people, everybody's like, "Well, that was a good one."
Yeah.
You know, and I'm always like, "Well, I mean, why were you rude? Like, they weren't even."
Well, and in my opinion, if people. But you can only change yourself. You tell your kids that all the time, right? I tell my kids that 100 times a day. I always heard, you know, Blair, my youngest daughter. She's a freshman. She's a select softball player. I'll give you a perfect example. Select softball player, freshman, okay? She got voted captain of the softball team as a freshman. Had seniors and juniors on that team. How well do you think that went over overall? Not very well, okay? Is she the best player on the team? She really is. I mean, she's the pitcher, and she's the best player on the team. She's a .600 batting average. I mean, she's the best player on the team, okay? We talked about it and prayed about it that night when she got home. And, you know, life's just not fair sometimes. And I told her, I said, the only thing you can do is change yourself, make your own decision about what you think is best for this team as a whole, not be selfish and say, oh, look at me, I got voted captain as a freshman. You know what she did? She declined it. She said, I thought about what was best for the team, and I knew that this was going to cause trouble all year long, no matter how hard I tried. That's a sign of maturity. For 15, that's a sign of maturity. Sometimes we have to decline, and we have to make a change within ourselves, and it's painful, and it's not pleasant, and we may not like it. I mean, she was heartbroken. Don't get me wrong. She cried many, many tears for about 2 or 3 days after that because she wanted to be captain so bad, but she had to look at what's best for the group. And I was so impressed with that child that day. I told her, I said, that's one of these mommy moments I will never forget. Sometimes, if you can't change the whole group, honestly, all you can do is change yourself. All you can do is be the best person, like you said. You know you're integritable. You know you're professional. You know that you're caring. You know all these things about yourself. You know that you're approachable. You know that you're dedicated. You know that you're humorous and you like to play. You know what I'm saying? I have these character traits. I have the things for my staff. I have them written by my desk so I can look at them to remind myself what I want to be. Because if that's what they want to see, I want to be that person. You know, and I have to say, a lot of managers aren't approachable, and that's sad. But I'm saying, you can make a difference. I mean, my 15-year-old, she made that team a better team this year. By doing what she did, she made the team a better team. Not fun, not... They will. And you know what's funny is, they've already talked about making her captain next year. But again, it was painful. Okay, we did that. We're going to, you know how fun this is going to be. I got 5 minutes. Read the Constitution of the United States. I've got it up here. I know that sounds really corny, and I'm going to tell you that. And draft a constitution with your teammates. We did that. The Constitution. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice. Hang on. I got to go over here and grab my paper. I apologize. I hate walking across that thing. I don't want to mess y'all up. But this is the one good thing I really want to give you before I go. The last good thing. How about that? The last good thing I want to give you. The Constitution. Okay. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, the word union means an act of joining together. You can take the constitutional preamble and make it your own, change the words a little bit, but it has the perfect meaning for a team. Okay? We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect or act of joining together, a joint body, okay, in order to do that, okay, establish justice. Justice is fairness or reasonableness. Establish justice. Justice is what we're here for, people. We do our jobs for justice, and our jobs should include justice for everybody. Fairness or reasonable, especially in the way people are treated or decisions are made. That's what my staff, I tell them. Okay, so justice. And you can take this and type it, and you can put those words in color, and then color code them, and then put at the bottom a little blurb about what they mean. And I can send it to you. I don't mind sending it to you at all. Ensure domestic tranquility means free from commotion or disturbance. Perfect for you. Defense. Promote the general welfare and secure the blessing. Oh, I lost my place. Provide for the common defense, which means the protection of something, especially from attack by an enemy. Whether it's an internal enemy or an external enemy. Welfare, to promote the general welfare, the well-being, somebody's state or condition with respect to whether he or she is healthy, safe, happy, or prospering. And the last one is liberty, and secure the blessing of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, which means to our future generations. The right to choose. Liberty is the right to choose, the freedom to think or act without being constrained. If you can implement this in your court, even for your own self, put it on your desk. Type it out. I will send you the little detail, the little blurbs. I'll send you the one I do for my clerks. I don't ever mind doing that. Let me give you my email address really quick so you have it. But I love if you email me, I will keep it confidential. I'll never tell. I will talk to your administrator sometimes, but not about you, just to see if I can kind of put a little good word in there for you. If they ask, because a lot of times they'll ask me. It's L is in Leah, Huff, H-U-F, F is in Frank, at CI, period, South Lake, S-O-U-T-H, bless you, S-O-U-T-H-L-A-K-E, period, T-X, period, U-S. And if you want anything from either class, just email me. I'd be glad to send it to you. I'll send you this really cool little constitution. I mean, just make a difference, and God bless you again. I'm sorry, it must be me. I'm making everybody sneeze. You can make a difference where you are. You are making a difference where you are. People notice the people that are the good people. They really do. Even though it's not always pleasant, they notice the people that are the good people in the end. Because your character is something people can't take away from you.
Amen.
Can't take your character away. And you're a very integritable person. I can tell that about you. All right. Y'all have a good day. Uh-huh.